The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Now, Marion McKeown, why would President Donald Trump call any woman a dog and a crying lowlife?
Well, Matt, I think you've answered your own question because it's President Trump and there is no insult too low. There's no attack too vicious. There's no behaviour too unpresidential for him to stoop to. You're referring to his latest tweet. I mean, I think the entire world is probably aware at this stage of the very ugly reality show feud which is going on between two former reality stars, one of which is President Trump, the other of which is a woman called Omarosa Manigault Newman, who he hired. Well, he fired apparently three times on The Apprentice, and then he hired her to work in the White House at a senior position and holding one of the, and being paid, I should say, one of the highest salaries within the White House. She was hired to work in the Office of Public Liaison for African-American outreach. She is a black woman and she was one of the Apprentice stars. She was fired last year by John Kelly and since she then predictably wrote a book, in the book she lambasts Trump. She claims that he used the N-word, which I think would probably surprise very few people, but that's become one of the most contentious aspects of her book. She taped Trump and several people in the White House many times, and there is a fury that has been unleashed and attacks on her. Now, I don't think she's behaved well. I don't condone her behaviour.
And I don't know whether to actually believe much of what she said either, but is that necessarily
indeed
the point?
She's not the most credible person in the world by a long shot, but the point is that she is not the President of the United States. Donald Trump is, and for him to have dedicated so much time to these vicious, ugly, wholly undignified attacks on a former employee, it also begs the question, which everybody is asking. First of all, she was the only black senior employee in the White House, as opposed to Donald Trump has also hired Ben Carson, the former surgeon, as the Secretary of HUD, which is working out as well as you can imagine, or as well as you'd expect. She was not somebody who was clearly suited to the job. Now, one of Trump's tweets, he says she never turned up for any meetings or she didn't go to work or whatever. You know, basically attacks her job performance and says, but he kept her on because she said nice things about him. And this really is a very telling glimpse into the dysfunction of the White House, the ego of Donald Trump, and, you know, just the chaos and the appalling standards by which he rules. Look, he's a reality star. She's a reality star. I think they both knew from the beginning that at some point she'd write a book about this. You know, she went in there. They're both transactional people. She went in to get something. He hired her to get something, and now it's sort of disintegrated. I don't think there's any great surprise, but the way the tweets that he has focused on her and has posted are, while not surprising, they're just disgusting.
Okay. Carl Thomas is on his extended honeymoon. I'm delighted that Michael Walsh has been able to join us today, conservative commentator, author of The Fiery Angel, Art, Culture, Sex, Politics, and the Struggle for the Soul of the West. Michael, thank you for joining us. Whether we believe this woman's claims or not, is it appropriate for President Donald Trump to dehumanize her by calling her a dog?
Well, I don't accept the premise of the question, Matt, and it's great to be back on, and it was fun to be back home in Ireland last month for a couple of weeks. You know, it's an expression, and I get that Marion's agitated, and so are you probably, but this is who Trump is, and if you don't like it, you don't like it, but is it worth talking about it every single week over the latest outrage?
Well, then why does he just lower himself to going on Twitter? Why doesn't he rise above it all and not make any comment about this book, rather than actually giving it all the oxygen of publicity?
No, you're not the only one to ask that question. I think people who are either pro-Trump, anti-Trump, or neutral Trump would ask exactly the same question. Why bother to give it to her? I wrote a piece yesterday at PJ Media called The Mystery of Omarosa Manigault, starting with who the hell is she? I mean, this is a woman who had no impact on anything. She's a non-entity. She was
on The Apprentice, Michael. Trump's world, that's very important.
I guess, but I didn't watch The Apprentice. She certainly has no impact on the national dialogue. She was very likely an affirmative action hire. She was paid an extraordinary amount of money to do pretty much nothing. The stories that are coming out about her, as Marion rightly pointed out, she's not the most credible person in the world. And she's alleged that Trump used a racial slur. And she's alleged that Frank Luntz, who's an American pollster, heard it. And he's denied it. I mean, the whole thing is a publicity stunt for the book. And, you know, really, there's a lot more important things going on than whether the president is an injudicious tweeter, which we all agree he is.
Now, I was very taken by a piece that appeared yesterday on Politico by a man called David Glosser, who's a retired clinical neuroscientist living in Pennsylvania. It turns out he's the uncle of Donald Trump's senior advisor, Stephen Miller. Mm-hmm. And he rips into him for promoting the separation of immigrant families at the US-Mexico border, for his harsh anti-immigrant stance, pointing out that Miller's own family on his mother's side had to escape pogroms in Eastern Europe to safely come to the United States of America. Last week, Michael, I was in New York. One of the things I did with my family is I went to Ellis Island and I read all about the immigrants who came through. And there's something quite actually inspiring about how America was welcoming and opening to people from all around the world. And now it is so, so different. And people like Miller seem to be blind to their own heritage, and Trump blind to his own heritage as well.
Well, the president is, let's recall, I think probably most people in Ireland don't know this, he is the grandson of immigrants, and he is the son of an immigrant, a woman, a Gaelic, Scots-Gaelic-speaking woman from Scotland. So, to say he's not sensitive to immigrants would be incorrect. As far as the Ellis Island experience is concerned, obviously my family went through that or something very similar. But what we're talking about at the Mexico border is not that, Matt. And I think it's really important for people to keep clear. What's happening is that coyotes are bringing whole groups of people across the undefended until relatively recently southern border. And these children sometimes claim to be children of the coyote, but in fact they're not. They have to be sorted out. They have to be processed. And it is a law that the children cannot be kept in holding pens with adults for obvious safety reasons beyond a certain period. So the Democrats pushed this through, and now they're screaming bloody murder about it. It's all just another way to break down the immigration system in the United States. And now you see there's a movement among the lefty Democrats to abolish the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Service. That's called ICE. This is all just a continued assault on American sovereignty, and the Irish, of all people, should not fall for this. And I speak as one who not only is the grandson of immigrants, but who went back to Ireland and reestablished our roots in that country. That's a very, very different thing than what's going on on the southern border.
Marion McCowan, how is it different?
Well, I was just going to put that question to Michael. How exactly is it different, Michael? Is it because these people are brown people, the sort of people that Donald Trump doesn't want in the country? Because I see no difference. First of all, I think you've entirely mischaracterized the situation as regards immigration. And this is something that I was down on the border for quite some time, and I saw lots of close-up. I spoke to a number of these people. What Donald Trump has done is he has lumped in genuine asylum seekers, and by forcing them, by not allowing them to cross the border at legal points, to cross the border illegally, which is a misdemeanor. It's akin to a speeding ticket, and which anybody else who has crossed the border illegally does so as a misdemeanor. They are then put into prisons. Their children were taken from them. This never happened with the Obama people. This happened if they thought children had been kidnapped or taken across the border illegally. But there were family units where families could be held for up to 20 days. That is still the situation. And then they were fitted out with ankle bracelets, GPS monitoring devices, and 96% of those people turned up in court on the date that they were due in court. So it was a system that was working well. Let me also say that immigration across the border is the lowest it's been in decades. Everybody knows this. It was extremely low even before Donald Trump became president. So there was no need for this. There was no emergency. There was no national security crisis. This was all an entirely racist thing that was dreamt up by Stephen Miller and Donald Trump. And to get back to Stephen Miller, yeah, Matt, I wrote a piece about him in July, about a month ago.
In the Sunday Business Post.
And the entire... in the Sunday Business Post, and the entire Jewish community, it seems, is absolutely appalled and sickened by what he has done. His uncle has also written for his local paper in Johnstown, Pennsylvania. His cousins have written on Facebook about how appalled they are. I understand that there's been a rift in the family. His parents were Democratic voters. My research suggested that they changed their vote, their registration to Republican shortly before the election. As I say, 17 Jewish communities wrote to John Kelly demanding that he be fired because of what he had done. This policy, which I believe, Michael, you were trying to defend, of separating children as young as 6 months from their parents, caging some of them, putting them in prison, and about 400 of these children have still not been reunited. There is no justifying that policy under any situation. It was wrong, it was evil. Donald Trump was forced to stop it by the American people's outrage, and now, ironically, he has gone back to doing exactly what Barack Obama did, because that is the only system that is acceptable. There are huge problems with immigration, I'll grant you, but doing what he did to children and families is not the solution.
Okay, last word is to you, Michael Walsh.
I'm just curious that Marion has racialized both of the topics we've discussed. She has to point out that Omarosa Manigault is black, which has nothing to do with what we're talking about. And then she accuses the president of being racist because the Mexicans are brown people. I think this is a terrible way to argue, and it's not put the facts clearly in front of the public. And I think the Irish listeners should not be swayed by this extreme emotionalism and misrepresentation of the facts. I grew up on the Mexican border. I travel all over the world, and I don't see any evidence of this being true whatsoever.
Michael Walsh, Marion McKeown from the Sunday Business Post, thank you as ever for joining us on The Last Word this evening here in Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.